You're listening to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Richard's style is very unique, where he shares the message of the gospel unlike anyone else. It's real, refreshing, focused, and fun. Whether you find yourself in a good place, maybe in a difficult place, or possibly even in a very lonely place, let me encourage you that you've come to the right place. Now, if you're not able to stick around with us for all of today's talk, you can always listen to, download, and even share this entire message with a friend right from our website, richardellistalks.com. So, with today's talk, here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is Heavenly Bodies. Wacky things go on in the sky and in our universe. And I will start with this. This may not be the kindest thing to say, but I continue to lose more and more patience with fools. And you say, well, who are the fools? Well, the Bible says the fool says in his heart, there is no God. And you say, well, what does that even mean? Let's just talk about an eclipse. What does it take? Some of it's obvious. To have a solar eclipse, you got to have the sun, the moon come between the earth and the sun, and it blots it out unless the moon is in a little bit farther away, and then you'll have a partial. It'd still be full, but there's a ring of light around it. But to have a complete solar eclipse, the moon has to be exact in its size. Now, nobody looks at this because they're not crazy enough to do this, but if you look up in the sky and you see a full moon, the sun is the same size as the moon in our sky. Now, why is that? So let me give you some numbers. The diameter of the moon is 2,160 miles. The sun is 93.3 million miles away. There's 232,000 miles between the earth and the moon. 93.3 million miles divided by 232,000 miles is roughly 400 times to get to that number. The diameter of the sun has to be 400 times larger than the diameter of the moon. The diameter of the moon, again, 2160. The diameter of the sun is 864,000 miles. It's all exact. Exact. Or it would not happen. You say, well, I don't know. I just still think there was a big explosion in all these orbits. All this random stuff just happened. You're a fool. You are so determined to say there's no God that you will bypass creative details in the universe, macro and micro. It's the only thing to do. Because the second you say, well, if I say there is a God, now you're in trouble. Because now there's a God. Now he created everything. Now there's good and evil. Now you're either good or evil. Now you either need a savior or you don't. But if you say there's no God, there's no heaven, there's no hell, there's no nothing. But then where does conscience and morality and all these, you know, why are you being even remotely nice to your neighbor? It doesn't matter. Take what you want. Do what you want. Kill who you want. There's no order to anything, but yet there is. A little bit more about this. How many seconds in a day? 24 hours times 60 minutes times 60 seconds. Guess what that equals? 86,400 seconds. So even time is built into the earth, the sun, its orbit. Every second is 10 miles of the diameter of the sun. We go all the way around it. You say, oh, it's just random. It's just happenstance. There's no way. There is no way. You say, well, but what if I'm just scared to say there's a God and all that opens up? Well, you wouldn't be a fool anymore. Hell's going to be full of fools who didn't believe in hell, didn't believe in anything. They're going to believe in it forever, but not now. You say, well, how could I not believe if all this stuff is so obvious? Because the God of this world blinds your eyes. But our God, the one true God, can open your eyes. He gives you the faith. You say, okay, God, I'm going to give this a shot. It just blows my mind because the more science you read, you say, well, that doesn't take me farther away from God. It draws me more to him. Around 1200 BC, scribes in Anyang, China, recorded eclipses on oxen shoulder blades and tortoise shells called oracle bones. In these eclipse records, the scribes said, quote, the sun has been eaten. The Maya kept meticulous records of astronomical events documented in hieroglyphs carved in stone, painted on pottery and murals, and written on accordion-folded bark books called codices. The Maya astronomical record includes documentation of eclipses. In their book, Astronomy in the Maya Codices, Harvey and Victoria Brinkle demonstrated that the Maya predicted the solar eclipse of July 1991. That's how precise the universe is in its mathematical calculations. In Norse mythology, it was said that the god Odin was responsible for eclipses. Thales eclipsed 585 BC, one of the earliest recorded eclipses, is said that Thales of Miletus predicted a solar eclipse that occurred during a battle between the Medes and the Lydians. The sudden darkness reportedly caused the warring factions to cease hostilities, leading to a peace treaty. And they say, well, it's just all random stuff. Now, before we get there, I'm going to tell you what's not random. How do you explain the birth of Jesus, astronomical events? How do you explain the death of Jesus? All these things tying together. Now, I can't get my head around what I'm about to tell you, but let me read you one verse or a few verses, and then we'll come back to this. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. If you're not a fool anymore, here's the truth. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That's it. The heavens and the earth. Genesis 1:14. Then God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons. Not just random stuff, signs and seasons. And for days and years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth. And it was so. Then God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. God set them in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness, and God saw that it was good. So what happens when God says, let there be light? He puts all this stuff in the universe. The clock is set. And you say, well, I don't believe this. Go to NASA's website. Do a little poking around there. Just they've got on computers, the universe is set. You can roll it back to a certain point in time and see exactly where everything was. It is so precise, it doesn't deviate. You say, well, how can that be? Because God set it up, but he is so infinite in his knowledge and in his ability to create that when he put everything in place, exactly the time when Jesus was to be born and the stars involved here, I believe it's Regius, also known as Alpha Leonis, brightest star in the constellation Leo, one of the brightest stars in the night sky. And it's tied to the name Regius in Latin means little king, prince, and is derived from the star's association with constellation Leo, often depicted as a lion, which historically associated royalty and leadership. So the wise men see stuff going on with Regius and go, something's going on. A king is being born. We got to go find him. You say, well, that was just coincidence. It had to be built into the universe. And I'm jumping ahead here a little bit. Go to NASA site. Oddly enough, AD 33, Friday the 3rd, from noon to 3 o'clock. Guess what? 2 hours and 50 minutes, partial lunar eclipse. You say, oh, it's just coincidence. You're a fool. And you say, well, God would have to show up for me to believe. He did. Well, I'd have to have further proof. Then who's knocking on the door of your heart that you won't open? At some point, it's not God's fault. He's given you a universe of creativity, of design, everything built in. And you would think, he's thinking, there's no way they're going to say I don't exist. Look at this place. And yet we say, no, big explosion, broccoli. That's my favorite one. You just live your day. Look around during the day and go, just put this in front of everything. Big explosion and a man and a woman crawl out of a swamp. Not just a man, not just a woman. Independently, a man and a woman, totally different and yet the same, and could procreate. Eyeballs, digestive system. Oh, it just, big explosion and all that just happened. You're crazy. There's a God. You're not God. It's okay. You say, well, you're being mean. You're being rude. You're pushing people away. You're as far away as you can get already. You die this way, it's hell. You say, well, now you're really being mean. It's coming unless you change, unless you repent, unless you change your mind. Go to Job chapter 9. Job chapter 9, verse 9. He made the bear, Orion, and the Pleiades, and the chambers of the south. He does great things past finding out. Yes, wonders without number. Talking about planets that are named, they're in the Bible. It's him. Go to Psalm 19, verse 1. Man, this is some strong stuff. Look at this. Psalm 19, verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God. And he just gets bigger and badder all the time, in a good sense, of course. People who had no telescopes just saw what they saw, and that was enough to go, wow, what is that? Who is this God? Now we have telescopes. Now we know there's 2 trillion galaxies, and he holds them in the span of his hand. Why would you reject this God? Who is this God? How could you possibly tell him no? What are the risks? Your eternity is at stake by saying no to this God. And literally it says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech. Every day, every day, every day, it speaks to us. And night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. There's nowhere on the planet who cannot look up at night and during the day and say, the universe speaks, declares the glory of God. Not possible. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. In them he has set a tabernacle for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoices like a strong man to run its race. Go to Matthew 2. So this is back to the story of Jesus and his birth. Man, I don't even know how not to get in the weeds on this. You think there's not a clock running? The stars are moving. The universe, the clock is moving, and built into it is Jesus being born exactly when he is born. Angel dispatched to Joseph, angel dispatched to Mary. This is what's going to happen. And on the exact day that she was supposed to conceive, she had to say, yes, I'm willing, be it unto me according to your word, and boom, the Holy Spirit overshadows her. She gets pregnant. The stars are doing their thing. The wise men are showing up. I mean, it is a clock, and then you run it forward. Let's read a little bit of this. Matthew 2, 1. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem saying, what were they saying? Where is he who's been born king of the Jews? We know a king has been born. How did they know that? We have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. The stars revealed there's a king of the Jews here. We came to find him and worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes and the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it is written by the prophet, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. So they knew where Messiah would come from. Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. Okay, when did you see the star? It's exact stuff. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him with a sword or whatever he was going to do. He's going to kill him. When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. The stars taking people, wise men, to Jesus. Now you say, well, that's me. I follow the stars. No, you're not supposed to follow the stars. You're supposed to follow God himself first. And if the stars reveal his glory or reveal his purposes and plans, great. But you don't limit it to the created thing. You got to go all the way to the creator. Amen. Matthew 24. Now I'm going to read you a bit of this. And this is very intense. And, you know, God give us ears to hear. And bless the reading of your word. Matthew 24, 1. Then Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came up to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said to them, do you not see all these things? Assuredly, I say to you, not one stone shall be left here upon another that shall not be thrown down. Now, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming in the end of the age? And Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name saying, and this has been going on for millennia, couple thousand years. I am the Christ and will deceive many, and you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilences, earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. Just by the way, stopping there, stop being surprised that they hate you if you're a Christian. Amen. If you didn't know Jesus, they wouldn't care. It's not you they hate, it's Jesus in you they hate. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise and deceive many. And because lawlessness, look at this. This is like straight out of the newspaper. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations. And then the end will come. And that's one of my verses right there. Why do I care about broadcasting on the internet, on the radio, television, whatever I can possibly get my hands on? Look at verse 14. This gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. Let's get the gospel out so we can go home. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, whoever reads it, let him understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let him who is on the housetop not go down to take anything out of his house, and let him who is in the field not go back to get his clothes. But woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babies in those days, and pray that your flight may not be in winter or on the Sabbath. For then there will be great tribulation, such as has not been since the beginning of the world until this time, nor ever shall be. And he said, well, when is that? I don't know. You better be ready. If this happens in my lifetime somehow, I don't plan to be afraid. Amen. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. Then if anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ, or there, do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. In other words, Christians. See, I have told you beforehand. Therefore, if they say to you, look, he is in the desert, do not go out. Or look, he is in the inner rooms, do not believe it. Why not? And I'll read you this in a second. The reason you don't believe any of it, because the Bible tells you when he comes what will happen and what it will look like. Look at verse 27. For as the lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For wherever the carcass is, there the eagles will be gathered together. And that just simply means where there's death, where there's decay, where there's sin, that's where the eagles come in and swoop. That's where they kind of gather. Immediately after the tribulation of those days. Now look what goes on in the heavenlies. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. You say, well, that's not going to happen. I promise you, guarantee you 100%, this is coming. People get freaked out by some kind of solar eclipse, a lunar eclipse, something, earthquakes, famine, all this wars. Oh my gosh, what are we going to do? Get you some Jesus. That's what you need to do. Now, do I want to be persecuted in a way that not since the beginning of the world that it's ever happened? No. Do I want to be tortured? No. Do I want to be martyred? No. Am I looking for that? No. But if it comes for you, you have to be ready. All these people say, oh, I would never deny Jesus. Like Peter. I'll never deny you, Lord. Why don't we start living a life of not denying him every day so that when that day comes, if it comes, we don't have that problem? Because when a big day comes of acknowledge or deny him, and you haven't been acknowledging him in your life at all between now and then, you think you're not going to deny him? Of course you're going to deny him. What, are you going to muster up some courage and say, yes, Jesus is Lord, I would never, you know, no, don't take my houses and my stuff. Never heard of him. Don't know him. Don't know what you're talking about. Now go to 1 Corinthians 15. I don't have time to read this whole thing, but here's why I do not get very afraid. 1 Corinthians 15. So the whole universe, loud noise, fervent heat, it's all gone. Let's say that happened today. Let's say it all is over today, all gone. And my physical body dies because it's all burned up. I'm still on the planet. Here's my answer. 1 Corinthians 15:51. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. In other words, not everyone is going to die, but we shall all be changed. This is about the heavenly bodies. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised incorruptible and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption. That just means this body that can corrupt, age, decline, die, you put on something that is incorruptible, does not die, does not age, does not decay. And this mortal must put on immortality. This body is mortal. It can die. Immortality means you never die. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. I'm not worried about all that. I know as sure as I'm standing here based on the word of God, the spirit of God living in me, the promises of God, that if I were to die right now, I'm telling you, to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. I got no fear about that. You can't imagine how reassuring that is. A friend sent me some video clips of my dad's funeral today, just out of nowhere. I don't sit around missing my dad, but I start thinking about it, I miss my dad. He's not here, but I know where he is. And you've heard me through the years talk about some of his faults and challenges. He didn't have any of those anymore. Perfect, complete, lacking nothing. He's whole. Next time I see my daddy, he will be the perfect, perfect man. It'll be finished. So what you got? See, people think, well, nobody's asking these questions. I don't believe that. I believe everybody's asking these questions because the world's lied to you. The devil, all he can do is accuse you, scare you, threaten you. If you don't do what I tell you to do, I'm gonna make this happen. So the devil's not on your side, and you surely don't want him on your inside. So it's real simple. You say, well, I'm looking for the truth, okay? How far has your search got to go? If you keep looking, it's going to end up back at Jesus because he is the truth. You say, well, I'm trying to find my way. It turns out he is the way. You say, I'm trying to get a life. He is the life. And you can't get to his dad unless you go through him. Why not stop the search? Because you already know it's true.
We'll get back to Richard in a moment to close out today's talk. But first, I want to share something about our program. Our mission is actually very simple, to take the planet. So it's our prayer that these daily talks from Richard aren't something you only hear and enjoy, but that they inspire you to share with others. Together, we can do this. The message of the gospel is something everyone needs to hear, and that's why it's such a priority to us. So join us in this important mission. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD to say you're in. Or you can get on board with us through our website, richardellistalks.com. Well, here's Richard with some closing thoughts for us.
So here's how you do it. You just say, God, I've screwed up. I'm a sinner. I need your forgiveness. I can't save myself. I know I'm lost. Look at my life. I now believe, understand that you sent your son Jesus to live a sinless life, die on the cross, shed his blood, be buried and raised from the dead to pay for my sin. And he's offering me eternal life as a gift. I accept that gift of eternal life. Come live in me, through me, change me. Whole new life, whole new future, whole new eternity, whole new heavenly body one day. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for moving in. You say, well, what happens if you pray that? I don't know. If you just prayed it, you know what happened. God's given you his word. You gave him your words. He keeps his words. He moved in. Now the God that created the whole universe holds it together, lives inside of your body. Greater is he who is in me than he who's in the world. I have nothing to fear. That's the way you're supposed to live. And you'll have challenges. You'll have battles. The devil's still come for you. But he can't do anything without God's permission. You're tired of your sin, he'll give you victory over your sin. You want to walk with him, he'd love to walk with you. You want to serve him, he'd love for you to serve him. You want to obey him, he'd love for you to obey. You say, well, I'm already a Christian, so what about me? I don't know, a lot of Christians end up going back to the same stuff that told them they needed to get saved. Are you done? I'm tired, Lord. This ain't home. This isn't the way. This isn't the life you intended. I want to go home. Turns out home's not very far away because he lives in your heart. Just repent, change your mind. God, forgive me. I admit, you're right, I'm wrong. And you'd be home just like that.
Thanks for listening today to Richard Ellis Talks. We're confident that the program blessed you, and we want to hear about it. One way is to give us a call and let us know. The number is 855-6-RICHARD. Another way is to drop us an email. Jump on over to our website, richardellistalks.com, and click on the Connect tab at the top. We'd love to hear from you. And while you're there at the website, there's a ton of great stuff there just for you. Things like all of the talks from Richard, a prayer wall where you can leave your prayer request, and a whole lot more. Check it out, richardellistalks.com. Finally, we love doing this program for you, but we're so grateful when you hop on board to help us with the cost. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD, or you can contribute through the website. It's easy and much appreciated. 855-6-RICHARD or richardellistalks.com. Until next time, God bless you, and thanks for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.